The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 24th of March, 2025, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Good morning, everyone. I have lots to talk about this morning. I think we have lots to talk about this morning. I wanted to call this Monday Outrage, where I invite you to call in and share what has evoked outrage in you, within you, or something outrageous that you have seen, experienced, witnessed, or done that you think the public should be aware of. In this moment, I want to say that I have an outrage in my heart towards death. But that ain't, that, you know, that can't be right. Like, that must be an internal mistranslation, right? Because how could I, a mere human, be outraged at death? And perhaps if I took the time to think about it, I would realize that I am not outraged at death, for that makes no sense. Remember the Serenity Prayer. But I am deeply, deeply broken and disturbed about the way that we reconcile with death, the way that we treat death, as if we close our eyes tight enough, it does not exist, it did not happen, and we could forget that it's going to happen to us eventually. So in this moment of outrage, I would like to take a brief moment to recognize the passing of tremendous young people, younger people. I am now 49, and so I have to remember that when I say young people, the young people say, "Mom, you forget Johnny Cake's song, Old Headache." But these two lives, if but for a moment, I would like to recognize and commemorate them. First of all, condolences to the family, friends, and loved ones of Lorenzo Knowles, R.M. Bailey Pacer, class of 1998. And I don't know if you could find a prouder Pacer in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And also found out this morning that we have lost another treasure, Ms. Gia Pierre, writer, playwright extraordinaire, leading for her brief time on this earth, theater, creative production in the country. Gia Pierre, I think, was the proprietor and lead of Out of the Ashes production, and we are familiar with so many of her plays. She has entertained us. She's told our stories back for us to understand ourselves better. And we take this moment to say condolences to the family, friends, and loved ones of Lorenzo Knowles. We also have two tragic stories unfolding this morning, well after these papers went to print. Two traffic fatalities, tragic incidents, occurred in the early hours of this morning, and the second shortly before 9 a.m. The first accident involved a motorcyclist who apparently lost control of his bike and hit a pole. We say condolences to the family and loved ones of the operator of that vehicle. Also today, just in on the news, there was another traffic fatality. I am pulling up the story now from the website, Your Bahamas, well, the local operation Bahamas Daily Headlines. Male dead following traffic crash on Jean Street. On Jean Street off of Prince Charles Drive. Tragic story. Again, condolences to the loved ones and families of those two traffic fatality victims. Also, article can find in today's Tribune. It was posted online last night. Visitor dies after jet ski hits rocks at Half Moon Key. Police are investigating the death of a female on Saturday after crashing a jet ski into a rock at Half Moon Key. The woman, a British Czechoslovakian national, reportedly lost control of the watercraft while riding near the private island shortly after 1 p.m. She suffered serious injuries in the collision. Medical personnel responded quickly, but she was pronounced dead. I'm turning to page 4, pardon me, at the scene by a local doctor. Police said she was a passenger on a cruise ship that had docked at the island. Officers from Eleuthera traveled to the site to begin investigations. Authorities are urging visitors to exercise caution when using watercraft and are working with cruise line officials to strengthen safety controls. Now, that story is in today's Tribune. On the same front page, here's an article, quote, my 10 years trapped in bed after car accident. I encourage everyone to read this story with their loved ones and family members, particularly young people that are preparing to drive or have just started driving. Gabrielle Gabby Lord was 25 when a car ride with her grandfather changed her life forever. Just after 7 p.m. on January 3, 2016, the vehicle she was in flipped on Shirley Street, just outside Doctors Hospital. Seated in the back, she was thrown from the car. Her spinal cord was fractured. Her neck was broken. She wasn't breathing when first responders found her. Now, 34, Ms. Lord is paralyzed from the neck down. Her days are shaped by immobility, sleepless nights, and long stretches of isolation. She hasn't left home in over a year, except for one annual outing her father arranges each September to mark her birthday. And end the article there and follow up with this article before we transition. Education minister appeals to drivers after high schooler injured in traffic accident. This was in Saturday's Nassau Tribune. Education Minister Glenys Hannah-Martin has urged motorists to exercise greater caution near school zones after a C.H. Reeves Junior High School student was reportedly injured in a traffic accident near the Mall of Marathon on Thursday. Police have not released many details on the incident, but confirmed the matter is under active investigation. The student's condition also remains unclear. Mrs. Hannah Martin said she immediately alerted officials from the Ministry of Transport after the matter was brought to her attention. I want to stick a pin there. We're going to come back to that. She said the incident underscores the urgent need for a review of the area near the mall at Marathon, where students frequently cross after school. Quote, in that particular area, you have two major high schools, highly populated, many on foot, hundreds, but it's also mixed in with a commercial area. It's a major thoroughfare. And so it requires, first of all, drivers in that area to have a heightened sense of precaution, close quotes. Mrs. Hannah Martin told reporters on Friday, quote, I know we'd be all trying to get from point A to point B, but we don't want to take down children along the way, close quotes. She added that her ministry, along with other government agencies, has been working to improve pedestrian safety in high-traffic school zones, including the introduction of new signage. I would like to stick a pin there. Plans are also in the pipeline to introduce crossing guards. She added, we're going to stick a pin there. Quote, so it's a work in progress, close quotes, Mrs. Hannah Martin continued. Quote, but a lot of people seem anxious on the roads, and I see a lot of impatience and aggression, but we have to manage ourselves, close quotes. Let's stick a pin there as well. This latest incident comes weeks after Transport Minister JoBeth Colby-Davis called for drivers to slow down, noting that many motorists are found speeding during school hours. She also said that they were going to put up billboards. I would like to take this moment once again to remind the Ministry of Transport and the Ministry of Works and anybody that knows how to use a hammer and a nail, please do not put up the billboards attempting to raise awareness about driving culture in places that obstruct the view of drivers and create an even more dangerous environment for drivers and pedestrians. Just make sure when you put the signs up to tell the people to keep safe that you don't do it in an unsafe way, because we've had that happen before. She also said that they were going to talk to students a lot about adults driving. But okay, no problem. We continue back to the article. Quote, and this is a quote from Transport Minister JoBeth Colby. Quote, just this week, a driver contacted my ministry to report that a young student on her way to Yellow Elder Primary School was almost hit by a speeding car while on the pedestrian crossing. As drivers, we must do better. Please slow down. I repeat, as drivers, please slow down, close quotes. She recently told Parliament. It also comes as the Davis administration pushes ahead several road safety initiatives. Earlier this month, the Ministry of Education, in partnership with R.M. Bailey Senior High School, launched a National Road Safety Jingle and Mascot Campaign. We're going to stick a pin right there. Prime Minister Philip Davis also recently announced that a national road safety creative competition for students aged 11 to 16 will launch next month. He further encouraged companies to join a road safety corporate influencer network, sponsoring school zones, rewarding safe drivers, and using their platforms to amplify the road safety message. According to officials, there were 11,157 road accidents last year, 2,234 of which resulted in injuries. Fatalities increased from 51 in 2023 to 66 in 2024, and 15 people have already died in accidents this year. That total of 15 does not include the two tragic traffic fatalities that occurred this morning. Take the total to 17. And I would like to ask the Royal Bahamas Police Force and the Ministry of Transport to also maintain a count for the marine traffic fatalities as well, for they surely have spiked compared to previous periods. So let's get back. Well, let me get to the text. Good day, Aaron. Has anyone saw the new travel in the USA. If you are staying over 30 days, you will have to fill out a form in reference to extended stay. Isn't that what the cruise people said that the Bahamian government was doing to them? If I find out that one of y'all gave Trump the Bahamian government politics handbook, if I find out whoever I stringing y'all up in the dilly tree, because I guess maybe I could reframe it. I've never been so proud to see the Bahamas be a model for developed nations. But that's not how I'm going to say it. I don't want to say it like that. Here is another text, Aaron. Oh, wow. Texas, we're going to get to that text in a second. I'm sorry that you were outraged by that. Another text just said, well said. Thank you, Texas. So let's get back to this article. Education minister appeals to drivers after high schooler injured in traffic accident. So Mrs. Anna Martin said she immediately alerted officials from the Ministry of Transport after the matter was brought to her attention. Because I would have thought that the Ministry of Transport and the Royal Bahamas Police Force would have brought it to your attention immediately. Right? Like almost like a Marco alert. Like you're telling me you don't have a Marco alert where the authorities who would intersect with education, they could hit a button and your office gets the something? Because like social services, we found students who during school hours in such and such area, y'all don't get that? The police don't send it to you. We found these students truant, all from the same school. This may be an issue larger than just one student. It may, right? Y'all don't do that? Okay. Let me take this moment to introduce to the conversation Mr. C.A. Nuri. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Good morning. How you doing, Aaron?
I am good, thank you. I'm going to transition from that point. The next point. Mrs. Anna Martin told reporters on Friday that, right, you get all point A to point B. She added that her ministry, along with other government agencies, has been working to improve pedestrian safety in high-traffic school zones. What are those improvements? Do they include police officers stationed along the corridors by the schools because police presence moderates behavior?
Before you get there, Aaron.
Yeah, yes, sir.
There are certain things that school has already, should have mm-hmm. already. And I can allow you to expand on what should already exist. Then read exactly what the minister is suggesting that they plan to implement. But before you go there.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, we have primary schools and high schools.
And junior highs, and right? Three
levels of schools. Whose children mm-hmm. need to get across the street. Mm-hmm. What do you expect? What is implemented for all the schools in the Bahamas right now?
All right, so cool. And let's include preschools.
Because
we
preschools.
So we got four
schools.
Levels of schools. But let's lay them out. Preschool, primary school, junior high. Because people would automatically say, well, you don't need the same level of crossing guard service at a high school that you do at a preschool.
But let's talk general. What's the basic thing? Let me go explain how extra for the little children in general.
Crossing guards. I thought every school has at least one pedestrian crossing in front of it, and that every pedestrian crossing was manned by a crossing guard during the school's own hours. So if you drive by a school, like if you were driving by C.R. Walker.
There's a pedestrian. There's a crossing guard there.
But not just that. There are signs that indicate mm-hmm. where the school zone is.
Yes.
And the time that the school zone is operational, right?
Yes.
So between the hours of 7:45 and 9:15 in the morning,
yep.
this area is a school zone. And you're supposed to reduce your speed. The speed limit changes at that time.
I can say and testify that T.R. Walker has one. A.F. Addy has one. The one on Prince Charles. That's what is Doris Johnson on Prince Charles.
Yeah.
They also have the sign.
Right.
And
QC has one.
And the crossing guard also.
Right.
Okay. And the one in Fox Hill. That's
Sandilands
Primary. They also have the time and a crossing guard
right.
also.
So is the minister saying that, like, high schools don't have crossing guards? Or not all schools?
Doris Johnson has.
Right. So why are you telling us it's a work in progress implementing?
See my frustration coming now.
Right. Here's the next thing. The parking outside of schools, right? The zone outside of schools, the parking is designated for a school zone. So the people who like to throw their big semi, they like on the sidewalk out, immediately outside the school, many times blocking the pedestrian crossing, many times on the pedestrian crossing, all of that is a no-go. Hmm. I think all I thought all of that was already described in law, where you can and cannot park your car. Let me just tell you something. Bahamian people don't care.
No.
They don't care about children, and it appears they don't even care about their own children.
But let's see what all you listen, what all
the minister said they're going
to plan to implement that is not being implemented as yet.
Okay. To improve pedestrian safety in high traffic school zones, including the introduction of new signage. Here's the thing. I don't know if we need new signage or if you just need to maintain the existing signage. Right? Here's the second thing. You need to actually tell people what the lines in the road mean.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you have not told the people what the lines in the road outside C.I. Gibson mean.
Mm-hmm.
Outside C.I. Gibson, you got Island Wholesale, you got the lumber yard on the western side of the road. You've got this sort of like a median in the middle. Mm-hmm. It's made up of striped lines. That is a turning lane.
Mm-hmm.
That allows you to exit the establishment that you're in and prepare to enter traffic without obstructing the flow of traffic in either lane. So you can, if you're heading southbound
mm-hmm.
on Marathon Road and you want to turn into Island Wholesale, you put on your right turn signal and you veer to the right into that lane in the middle of the road. And you wait there until traffic clears for you to turn. Mm-hmm. You don't stop in the westbound lane with your turn signal on and obstruct traffic until somebody lets you get across. You're allowed to stop there, right? The second thing is the pedestrian, the merge zones, because you have one as you cross over from the mall heading north towards the roundabout. Those lanes there allow two lanes of traffic to merge into one lane of traffic. But you could maintain your lane. You don't ever have to veer out of your lane to assume the right of way. You can continue to drive in your lane without crossing over the center line and make your way north, right? That frustrates traffic in a way that then creates blockages that then create a dangerous environment for pedestrians trying to cross the road. The next thing is the pedestrian crossings. Repaint them. Put the lights back. Accidents. People knock down the infrastructure. Put the infrastructure back up. And put lights. You know, I was on the Western Road, and I was driving by that new school, King's College. They got all kind of signage out there. Here's the same signage. Give them the same signage as C.I. Gibson. Here's the next thing. When did schools stop teaching students how to cross the road properly? When did adults stop crossing the road properly, forgetting that their children model whatever it is that they do? A large part of the problem is the way that students leave school campuses. They leave in a wave. You have four groups of 15 students all trying to cross the road at the same time, but in different locations on the same road. The same way that adults catch the bus, you could have seven people each standing 3 feet apart. None of them have decided that they all gonna stand in one spot, so the bus only have to stop once. Kind of like that. So paint the lines, put the signs up, and then here's the next thing, which is, I think, ironic. It's just hilarious. Ministry of Education, while you're focusing on these signs, remember that a lot of people can't read. Remember that a lot of people are not functional readers. So at Moss Road and University Drive, at the intersection there with University Commons to take you to the stadium, there's a sign there that says, give way on red. I thought it was a turn left on red sign. It's not quite that, because the turn left on red law requires you to stop at the intersection and treat it like a stop sign. before you proceed. Give way and stop do not mean the same thing. And so, Ministry of Education, this laugh is on y'all. You make sure the people could read the signs that y'all putting up.
What else does the minister suggest?
The minister suggests, well, let's go to what the prime minister suggests because it gets even more creative there. A national road safety jingle. Oh, no, this is ministry again. A national road safety jingle and mascot campaign.
I can appreciate that. It brings awareness. Gets people excited. We tend to forget. Perhaps we'll have a road safety week. And every year moving forward, that they have the mascot and the jingle to remind people.
So they could listen to it with the headsets on that the police gave
them? Well, of course. But at least they'll listen to the
Royal Bahamas Police Force. Stop giving people headsets and telling them to use these while they're driving. Don't please stop. Thank you. Yeah, so a national road safety jingle and mascot campaign and a road safety corporate. Now, this one I like, Road Safety Corporate Influencer Network. We can get to that one in a second. National Road Safety Creative Competition for students aged 11 to 16. Hmm. Creative competition.
I assume that's the essay.
You sure? Because I thought it was maybe you build a car, like junk-a-new a car, and see if you could get it to go faster than your Grammy's car, and your Grammy's 88, and you know she shouldn't be driving.
They mean well. Only problem with this is students are about to go into exam. They stop doing everything. But I appreciate the effort, and those who can do both will take advantage of it.
I appreciate your critique. I do. But at this point, I think it's like weaponized incompetence. Mm. It must be. There's no mention of the Royal Bahamas Police Force, of any collaboration.
Because it's a political agenda. Because one would assume that the police force would be spearheading this, or the Minister for National Security, who's responsible for the police force and road traffic, would be spearheading this effort. But it's a cause and effect. They're reacting to an accident, and the mechanisms from Ministry of Education is now kicking in. Mm-hmm. And from that, the mechanism of the Prime Minister office is now joining on that because they see an opportunity. Mm-hmm. But when the efficiency or lack thereof is that, again, they are applying to road traffic, they are applying to law enforcement, but they're not initially involved in the conversation. So it's reactive. So we don't know if it's going to be implemented anytime soon because the stakeholders are not spearheading this effort.
Absolutely. Okay, so a couple of notes before we transition and get to text. Well, let me get to this text right now. Did anyone bring up the prison bus flying very dangerously?
They don't care.
This has been an issue for years. But see, this one, I like this one. Because here's why.
Why?
It's an emergency vehicle. Mm-hmm. That's it. It's an emergency vehicle. And given the geographic, like the topography of the island, right? We understand. We can get a sense of the why of it, right? If the prison bus is using the coastal road, right? The coastal road is optimal for a prison break because you're very close to an escape option, which is the ocean, right? Bang. In a city, y'all just jam up. You don't want to stop at stop sign. Y'all don't respect the traffic controls. There's lots of walking traffic, poorly designed roads, difficult for people to pull over to give way for the emergency vehicle, which is what you're supposed to do. At that point, you don't have any feelings. When there's an emergency vehicle, you no longer have feelings. You don't get to do what you want to do, what you think you should be able to do. You're supposed to do what you ought to do. Right? And in fact, when you get in your car, you are supposed to have no feelings. The only thing you're supposed to be able to feel is the proximity between you and everything around you. That's it. And the speed you go in. You're not supposed to have feelings when you get in your car. So when there's an emergency vehicle moving through, you're supposed to make way for it. Now, if you want to be outraged, and there is outrage to be had, Let us talk to the Ministry of Works and those who are responsible for designing our roads to ask them why are they spending millions of dollars on designing roads that do not accommodate the things we need to do in our own country. Producer, let's go to the phone line. Good morning. Good morning, caller. Sorry, I missed you. Oh, you there? Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good. The prison bus is not an emergency vehicle.
It
the
is.
The ambulance is an emergency vehicle. The fire truck is an emergency vehicle.
If it have
People
on sirens, it's in
the... 10 o'clock. The prison bus can leave from 7 to 6 o'clock. That's not an emergency vehicle.
Okay, so here's the problem.
Hold on.
Here's the problem with the prison bus leaving at 7. You don't want to have a bunch of high-risk prisoners in town, A. B, in inadequate facilities to secure them, right? You don't want that for an extended period of time.
But Ms. Green, then the prison bus pulls on Nassau Street. They pull right to the back of the car. They're not... A thing no more like how it used to be through bike lane, they walking up and down. But understand what I'm saying, do you agree with me, yes or no? The ambulance is an emergency vehicle. The fire trucks are emergency vehicles.
The prison bus is an emergency vehicle.
You don't plan for sickness.
The prison bus is an emergency vehicle. When you hear them sirens, that's an emergency.
Yeah, but they make it a vehicle, they make it an emergency vehicle themselves. You call the start at 10 o'clock. You know school starts at 9.
No. There's a protocol. No. See, because you're missing the point. There's a protocol.
Right.
They cannot have the prisoners, right, detained there in that facility for an extended period of time. And so you reduce the risk by reducing the amount of time you have them in that space.
Boy. I don't know. I feeling you, you know. I understanding you, but they don't come as an emergency vehicle.
I got you. I understand what you're saying. But I think the outrage is not with the way that the bus operates, but the fact that you have a bus that a service that operates like that, but you have not built the roads to accommodate what it is you want to do.
But the problem with the roads is that the people can't pull. You put the sidewalk right on the side of the road with no leeway for people to pull off. The sidewalk is right on the road.
I am agreeing with you. As if sidewalks were made for cars to park on as opposed to poor people to walk on.
But what they need to do the sidewalk, I believe they need to put the sidewalks a little higher so when the people decide that they fool themselves to pull on the side, they damage the car, then they'll stop doing it.
But we can't do that because they didn't put any cutaways for people to clear way for emergency vehicles.
That's what I was saying earlier.
Listen, I was almost written off by an emergency vehicle, not because I was at fault, not because I was not aware, not because I didn't make way and pull my car on the side of the road at the appropriate time, but because the vehicle coming in the opposite direction has no spatial awareness and had to pull their car to a stop opposite me on the other side of the road. I just telling you, Oh my gosh. Because they didn't hear or see the emergency vehicle coming. But listen, I got a bunch of texts and I still have to talk about how.
Before I go, you have a whole highway.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to get a flat tire, you can't pull out the side of the road to change the tire.
I'm telling you.
Talk about that another day.
But that's okay.
Let's make this be a thankful week. Let's give thanks.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Protocol has been established. We go into a break, and when we come back from the break, I'm going to ask the Royal Bahamas Police Force, with all the officers you have on Bay Street, you can't assign anybody to the Bay Street and East Street intersection because you know the light is off, and you know that somebody in the Ministry of Tourism is telling these people when they come off the ship, man, we ain't got no traffic law. Tourist is king. Walk in the road wherever you want. I know that. I know somebody telling them that. Whether it's authorized policy or not. Somebody telling them that. You're on the clock with Erin Green. When we get back from the break, lots to talk about, including Pintard blasted for LNG deal criticism and more. You're on the clock with Erin Green. We'll be right back.
Why? Why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, no, boy. Just a hard day. What?
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking with everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Boy, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave us boy one big, big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody's saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
Boy, ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crock Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you. And your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Inland Revenue is here to guide and help you with all things business license and VAT. On March 25th and 26th at the National Baseball Stadium, the DIR will host a financial symposium with multiple government and private agencies. Then in the month of April, learn all about VAT through our in-person and virtual sessions during what we call VAT Education Month. For more information, follow Capital DIR Bahamas on all social media platforms.
Everybody Wins Live is bringing you the ultimate giveaway, a brand new Cybertruck. For every $30 spent, you're in the drawing for the ultimate grand prize, a Cybertruck. Join live at the Vibes Cartel Concert March 29th. You'll also be automatically entered to win tickets to see the world boss himself. 25 lucky winners every single week. Visit everybodywinslive.com to get into the game. See website for full terms and conditions. Must be 18 or over to participate.
Spring is in the air, and so are the rewards. The Water and Sewage Corporation wants to thank you for staying on top of your bills. When you pay your bill in full, you'll be entered for a chance to win one of three Easter baskets filled with exciting surprises. Pay in full before your due date. Complete the entry form, and you'll be entered to win. Visit our social media pages for details. Hop to it and win with the Water and Sewage Corporation. Hurry, offer ends April 17th.
Looking for insurance that fits your lifestyle and your budget? At Star General Insurance, we've got you covered. Whether it's motor insurance with flexible options for third-party liability and comprehensive coverage, or commercial insurance products that protect your business, we have choices you can afford. Own a home or renting? Our home insurance products have just what you need. And for the adventurers out there, we offer marine insurance. Visit our website or social media pages for contact information and quotes. Star General, insurance made simple.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning, you're back. We're back. We're all back. We're on the clock. Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Call, I'm coming to you right now. I got a text, says there's a police standing on the right light right now, just past there. I guess that's East Street and Bay Street intersection. Yeah, that's because they took a page from Fidel Castro, confused the enemy. Unfortunately, the enemy is the Bahamian driver. It's not peak traffic time. Wait till peak traffic time. I can pass through there today. I'm going to go to the caller, and then I can tell you all what happened to me on the road after, on Friday, I tell y'all, stop cartwheeling y'all cars through the streets of New Providence. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Erin. The subject you are raising is, to me, of great concern. And I think what really troubles me is how slow there is any action put into place to counter it. And so one of them was I was coming from the mall and I saw a child running across the street and I said one day a child is going to get killed because that's a throughway. And then I realized that the school, for the children to cross over, that's where they have to cross. And these children are not accompanied by their parents. Mm-hmm. Some of them are younger. And I don't know why. I don't know why there is no one posted when school is out to direct traffic for these children to cross safely. That's the first thing. The second thing that bothers me is the stigma on public transportation. It is not a thing of poverty as it is in this country. It is a thing of facility of movement. So the traffic is not congested as it is on this very small island that has too many traffic because nobody practices carpooling. And there are no, you know, you're walking along and you're seeing speeding bicycles and speeding tourists, and most of them don't even have head helmets, and there's nobody to stop them. That's another thing that concerns me, that there's no police patrolling or anything to help these youngsters that are doing the craziest stunts on bicycles up and down. It is so dangerous, and yet it goes on. That I don't understand. The third point is, in the public service, school children after school. When school closes, Erin, those children are left to themselves, and I think that that is highly dangerous for two reasons. There are predators.
Mm-hmm. That's all you have to say. There are predators, and they're everywhere.
They're everywhere, and especially where young children are concerned. And so I ride buses because that's my choice, and I see very young children should not be allowed on buses without being accompanied by an adult. It's something that really needs to stop before something bad happens.
Like the bus, public transportation is supposed to be the safest place, right? Because of the lack of, because of the transparency, because everybody could see what's happening. I don't understand why adults have tolerated what has devolved, right? What has become of some of these spaces. I want to thank you very much, Ms. Hamilton, for your contribution. I have another caller, a whole bunch of texts. I have to talk. I will mention the Abaco shelter story. I get to mention two headlines, and I get a ton of texts. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green.
Morning.
I love that last lady. You know, Ms. Green, you know, living in the inner city, I guess the bus downtown to avoid looking for parking spaces and all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I want to just expose the foolishness that's going on the roadways, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of men are very feminine. You know, they stay with these phones and also like these females. It's a style now where you see a young lady, she always has a phone in her hand. So I've spoken to you a little while earlier about the police officer being stationed at Yale Primary, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I spoke too fast because I didn't see him. He disappeared. And so the other morning, there was a young lady, a bearer of life. She didn't seem to be oblivious to my 9-year-old crossing the road.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sickening, the speed and the audacity in which they break the 15-mile-an-hour speed limit for the school zone. It's really ridiculous, and there's no enforcement. And so it's like a raceway. Ms. Green, some of the speed they make on that road between that school, and I don't know what they do about C.R. Walker. It's really, really inglorious. I mean,
the thing at C.R. Walker is that the drivers that are entering Market Street, right, coming from Blue Hill Road to enter Market Street, they don't feel like they have to stop at the stop sign there. That's it, right? They don't care. They don't care. They don't care that they're next to a school. They don't care that when they enter Market Street, they're supposed to enter in the right lane and then put on their left turn signal and then enter the left lane.
And so, but
yeah, go on.
The buses, in the States, normally would have the sign, when you the big sign would come on to the right, and it would say stop. So most bus drivers, they shouldn't even allow, if the child is not taller than the bus or the window, why would you allow the child to exit the bus and go in the front of the bus that he has no visibility, and mm-hmm. the driver who's heading northbound likewise wouldn't have no visibility either, when he could just step behind the bus or wait for the bus to pull off, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
That's a lot of imbecility, because people haven't given things enough thought until something happens to somebody's child. But, I mean, the police should be at these schools, man. It was just, like, we don't deserve anything as citizens. And when you speak out, it's a problem. We don't deserve anything, man. Bless up.
Thank you, 52. Okay, so let me move through this quickly. I need to make a note. Something went wrong at Mutton Fest. Not at Mutton Fest, but on the way to Mutton Fest. Because apparently, the entertainment for Mutton Fest and the host for the event were unable to get to Mutton Fest. They were unable to get to Long Island. They found themselves on a Bahamas Air flight, sort of stuck on the tarmac. I'm very upset because after what happened to me on Friday, I tasked Mr. Sawyer Boy with going to Long Island and finding me the strongest, muscularless, big horn mutton to bring to Nassau for me to put a saddle on and ride through the streets of Nassau. Because I tired of putting my car at risk. I'm going to let one of these big mutton horns bomb your car before you could bomb me. Here's what happened on Friday as I was heading home from the station after asking y'all to stop cartwheeling your cars through the streets of New Providence. So there was lots of cars backed up on Bay Street, partially because there are cutouts, like there's a roadworks on the right-hand side, and people don't want to drive their car slowly, because you could only go slowly, right over the little bit of cutouts. There's some construction of some sort going up further east after you pass Victoria Avenue, and then, of course, there's that little tourist zone there. Like, I'm so happy for the vendors that have developed that space, but I'm so disappointed in the taxi drivers who believe they own the road there. Taxi, tour, limo, the tour bus, all of them act like they own the road there. That's neither here nor there. So I cut off on from like Victoria onto Dowsville Street to avoid all of that traffic and frustration. And I'm on Dowsville Street, my light is green, and I am accessing Bay Street from the Dowsville Street cut. The light is green. The car to my left has slowed down and flashed their light, indicating that I could go. I had already observed a car speeding up on Church Street to the intersection and only stopped their car when the front of their car was hanging in the intersection on the pedestrian crossing where the pedestrian's supposed to cross. And so when I proceeded onto Bay Street, the car on Church Street decided that they were going to turn right and attempt to put their car in the same place that my car was going to be in. See, that's why physics is important. That's why physics is important, because you thought my car and your car could be in the same place at the same time. When I blew my horn to prevent injury, not to upset your feelings, to prevent injury, the woman looked at me and say, "What happened? Your light didn't change, ready." The cars were flowing as she said this on Bay Street. That's what happened to me on my way home. So I tell Sawyer Boy, bring me a mutton with big horns so I could bomb up your car. Somebody at Bahamas here say, "That ain't gonna happen, miss. We ain't letting that happen." So, caller, I don't know if I have enough time. You got 30 seconds. If the producer could get you in, I could give you 30 seconds, and that's it. Because, good morning, caller.
Hey, morning, Mr. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
You are doing a beautiful job with the traffic and everything and people being aware. So now we deputize you. You're now a police officer.
No, sir, don't do that. You can cause...
No. I deputize you. I'm going to arm you with a Thomas switch and a wet towel.
All right. Thank you, sir. But listen, here's what we do. Every day we wake up, we're supposed to deputize ourselves as adults. Every day you get up and you put on that badge to say that I'm an adult and I commit to doing what I know I ought to do when I know I ought to do it. See, that's what you feel you have the right to beat into your children. Sometimes it's physical, sometimes it's psychological. And sometimes it's emotional and psychological. Like the lack of emotional engagement is a psychological punishment. Anyway, producer, let me try read through the text dead quick, please. Tech says, no police presence on the streets. I think police should be at all schools to give tickets for speeding. The Bahamas is a truly God-blessed place. It's amazing how much slackness we get away with on a regular basis. If only we would use our powers for good, not for evil. Oh, and the Texas said, can you talk about the person blowing you off the light on the stop sign when the light is red? It's crazy. That's because the Royal Bahamas Police Force refuses. I mean, because the last time the road traffic officer, Davey, was on Morning Blend, he said, yeah, we're not even going to enforce that law. There's a text, so we got to pay Frankie them for current till eternity, eh? Oh, that's what it was. Thank you, Texter, for that reminder. Imagine that you wake up this morning and you look at The Guardian and you read this story. It says, Sir Franklin slams FNM leader for immaturity and petty foolishness. And then you go back in your archives to March 1st, 2024. Sir Franklin says his company's not involved in BPL assets takeover.
We need to talk about that now.
Yeah.
And delve it and dissect it.
Yeah.
It's just uneasy. And Bahamian people are getting uneasy by it, especially when non-politicals are becoming politicals and now entering politics and using their platform to talk politics.
Another text just came in. Can you confirm if the median in front of the PM's office near Goodman's Bay has been designated for parking? If not, why are the police not clearing the area of cars? I will be honest with you, right? That is an exciting situation. Because I don't know how you could tell the people go park in the Prime Minister's parking lot. Because you know they don't think that's hot. Anyway, sorry. Those words. I see why the producer played the music. Text us if I didn't get to. I've heard you speaking on numerous occasions about driving school infractions, but I'd never seen one until I stopped at the crosswalk on Shirley Street across from Zion Baptist this Sunday. I was surprised to see a driving school car crawl past me at 10 miles per hour straight through the crosswalk. They did stop about 15 feet post-crosswalk, but alas, that would have been too late for the pedestrian. My first thought was, aren't those cars equipped with brakes on the instructor side? As I tell you, the problem is with some of... Not all driving schools are complicit in this behavior, but the problem is some of the driving instructors, yes. Anyway, I'd like to thank my producer for being gracious and giving me this time. Texas says, so we average over 30 reported accidents a day. Wow, I'm going to investigate those numbers further. Does that sound like PLP math? I don't like it. You've been on the clock with Aaron Green, Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next.